Thank you so much. Got my little bag of props here. This is round two. I'm glad I drank a little 5-hour energy this morning. That's my new thing. I just started drinking those. They work. They really do work. But I have a really low drug tolerance, so sometimes things affect me differently. Like, have you ever been so sick and you take NyQuil and, seriously, I'll be drinking NyQuil and I'm not even finished and I'm just already going. My husband's like, that is ridiculous. Come on. But one time I think Rodney drugged me because we were in Shreveport at my grandparents' house and I got sick and I was like throwing up. This was on Christmas Eve. And we were going to have to drive all the way back to Fort Worth and I was so sick. And Rodney gave me some little pill. I'm not sure what it was. The only thing I remember is him getting me out of the car in Fort Worth and carrying me up to our bedroom. I'm serious. I was completely out. But I just have a really low drug tolerance, so the 5-hour energy might be like 15-hour energy for me because I feel really hyper right now. But you know what? Some of you have been here. How many of you were in the first service? So you're hearing this all over again? Well, they say you have to hear something like 17 times before you finally get it. And I'm so hyper, let's do 17 services today till we actually get it, okay? No, but I'm sure, you know, some of you have never heard me before, and I know I sound like Minnie Mouse and stuff, and I always tell people there's some scripture, I'm not sure where it is, but I need to look it up. I think it's in Ezekiel, and it says that God speaks in a still, small voice. So me and God sound just alike. People get me and the voice of God mixed up all the time. Is that you, Terry, or is that God? No, but it's good to be, you know, all the way in Burleson, Texas today. I just live off Wilshire, just right down there. I keep Fast Taco in business. I mean, when I go through the drive-thru, I'll say, yeah, I need to get a number 6. And one day the guy goes, did you forget to say no onions on the burrito and no peppers on the nachos? I said, yes, I did. They know me. They know the voice. No, but we're going to have fun this morning. I was praying for you just like Pastor Mark was saying, you know, praying about this service. And I don't take anything lightly. I consider it such an honor and such a just a privilege to get to stand behind a podium and speak. And, you know, I was telling the first service, I never in a million years dreamed that I would preach. Never wanted to preach, don't look like a preacher, don't sound like a preacher. All I wanted to do was be a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. Then when I found out they make $15 a game, I thought, I got to get a bigger dream. Got to have a little more than that. But, you know, I've been praying for you that this would be a divine appointment, that God knew exactly who was supposed to be in this service, the second service, that God knows you're supposed to be here because there's something he wants you to hear. Well, I'm going to talk to you about your dreams and about the goals that you have for your life, how to keep your dreams alive. You know, I was telling them in the first service that a lot of times people view life differently. People will say that life is a circus, life is a dance, life is a journey. Some people say life is a carousel. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, sometimes you just go round and round. Or people say life is like a deck of cards. You just got to play the hand you're dealt. Well, I don't believe that. I believe that life is an assignment. And I actually had a vision one time where I actually saw, and I haven't had a lot of visions in my life, but I saw this hand like reach down from heaven and hand me a clipboard, an adorable one. And he handed me this clipboard and I clearly heard the Lord say, not out loud, but in my spirit, I heard him say, this is an assignment on your life. And all I saw was this clipboard. And since that day, I truly view life as an assignment, that every single one of us have a clipboard with our name on it, and there is something that you are supposed to do during your time here on earth, and then it's over. You know, they say at most people live, 80 to 100 years, and that's it? And then you're going to spend more time on the other side of death than you'll ever spend here on earth. So God's given you a certain amount of time here on earth to do everything you possibly can with your life for him. And since I saw that vision, my favorite verse has become John 17:4. This is what it says. It says, I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. Wouldn't that be the most wonderful thing to stand before the Lord and say, I completed down to the last detail what you assigned me to do? Well, I was telling them that I had no idea this past week that we would go through what we went through in my personal life. My father-in-law passed away, and so that's why my husband's not here today. He's having to go and clean out things from his dad's house and stuff, and I never dreamed that just last week I would be writing my father-in-law's obituary and his eulogy. But you know, when you write that kind of thing, it really makes you realize how important your time here on earth is. And you know, I told them, I said, when you really think about it, when you die, unless we all go in the rapture, but when you die, there's going to be a tombstone with your full name written at the top. On the left side will be the date you were born, and on the right side will be the date you die. But it's that little dash in the middle that determines everything. That little dash determines what you did with your life here on earth. Did you waste it? Did you give up on all those dreams and goals that God had for you because of all the distractions that Satan brought in your life? Or did you fulfill what God called you to do? Did you stay focused on that clipboard to do what God called you to do? You know, just writing my father-in-law's eulogy this week, it just made me realize, I mean, there were so many things about him, his humor. He had the loudest voice you've ever heard in your life. So me and him carrying on a conversation was pretty comical. And he had the loudest laugh. I mean, we'd be in restaurants and everybody would be looking at us. He was so loud. And so, of course, we're telling all those funny things, you know, at the funeral. And he collected thousands of movies. He was a movie collector. But, you know, none of that even matters now. None of it even matters. And the thing that brought such peace to my husband's family was the talks that me and my father-in-law had in my kitchen late at night when I led him to the Lord. That's all that mattered. You know, it's just the fact that you are going to spend more of your life on the other side of death than you'll ever spend here. But there's something that God wants you to do during your time here. There's something he wants you to stay focused on. But at the same time, you have an enemy named Satan who is going to try everything in his power to distract you from God's plan for your life. He is a dream thief. You know, have you ever watched a movie where a thief goes into a store, maybe two of them working together, and they'll send one ahead of them to distract the store owner? Maybe he'll knock a bunch of cans off the shelf, or he'll go in and ask the store owner for directions or something. Meanwhile, the other thief sneaks in, grabs the money, and sneaks out. Well, Satan works the same way. He sends distractions little by little to get your eyes off of God's plan. You're looking at all these things around you, and then all of a sudden you come to the end of your life and you go, what did I do with my life? What are people going to say about me at my funeral? I don't even know what I did with my life. Maybe you had some dreams, but you gave up on them. Well, Satan is a dream thief. And I want you to recognize who is behind every distraction in your life, and it's Satan. He has one plan: kill, steal, and destroy your life. And if he can stop you from dreaming, get you to give up on the plan of God, then he has fulfilled his purpose. He wants you to feel used up, washed up, wasted. He wants you to hate yourself. He wants you to be mad at God. He wants you to give up on your dreams. I want to ask you today, do you regret more of what you've done or what you haven't done? Do you regret more of what you've done or what you haven't done? If you regret more of what you've done in your past, then you're not reading your Bible. There's a scripture in Lamentations that says, God remembers your sins no more. And God forgives you the first time you ask him. So if you're just regretting your life, regretting your past, all your sins, all your mistakes, and you're just letting that harass your mind, then you're not believing what God's word said. He says, I will remember your sins no more. He removes them as far as the east is from the west. You know, your sins are not keeping you from God's best. It's your remembrance of your sins. And you have to remember that. But if you're regretting more of what you haven't done, then it's never too late to get started now. Get started now doing what God's called you to do. You should never, never, never stop dreaming. Never stop living. You know, they say that the average person who retires, they die within 3 years of retirement. The average person. And the reason why is because they stop dreaming. They stop living. They stop pursuing something. Well, exactly what Satan hopes. He wants you to give up on your dreams. I want to talk to you today about some of the distractions that Satan will use. I told the ladies this weekend that Satan does not come to your door looking like this. He does not show up on Friday the 13th in a red costume and a pitchfork and tell you, "I've come to deceive you and distract you from your dreams. I hope so much you'll give up on them." No, he comes disguised. The Bible actually says he comes disguised as an angel of light. Satan comes smelling good, looking good, tasting good, feeling good, and sounding good. That's how he works. And I want to talk to you today about some of the distractions that Satan may have brought into your life. You want to hand me that, Cass? The first distraction I want to mention, which you probably have never thought of before, but the distraction of time. I told the first service, I'm a very visual learner. I learn by looking at stuff, so... Satan will use time as a distraction. And what I mean by that is he will replay over and over how many years have gone by and you haven't done anything. Look how much time has passed. When was the last time you even thought about writing that book or thought about singing again or preaching or starting your own business or getting married or having a baby or getting out of debt? When was the last time you even thought about that kind of stuff? Because so much time has passed, you give up on your dreams. Satan has a unique way of using time as a distraction. I want you to think about Joseph when he was, you remember Joseph had a dream? And then he's thrown into that prison by his brothers and he spent 13 years in prison. How, don't you think that maybe after the seventh year he thought, so much time has passed, God will never use me. I mean, I'm just sitting in here wasting away. And then 13 years go by, but you know what? He didn't give up on his dream. He didn't let time be a distraction from what God called him to do. And if he can do that, so can you. But Satan, I want you to look at the fact that Satan will use time. And you may think that right now you're just wasting years, time's going by, you're not really doing what you feel God's called you to do, but preparation time is never wasted time. God is always preparing us for something. You know, I got a degree in French at Texas Tech, and I thought all those years of studying French were nothing but a waste. I thought I wasted 4 years of college, I'm not doing anything with my degree, it was just a waste. Do you know that just now, I've been out of college almost 18 years. I'm kind of old. but do you know that just now, God's using me to preach in France? I just wrote a book in French and we distributed it all over the city of Paris. And I thought all that time was wasted. And I just looked back at it like those were just wasted years. Why did I get a degree in French? Preparation time is never wasted time. There's things in your life right now that God's going to use later on that you think is nothing but a waste. I love that scripture where Jesus said, "Gather up the fragments, let nothing be wasted." You may feel like your life is nothing but one big fragmented mess, but Jesus says, "Gather up those fragments, let nothing be wasted." Nothing about your life is wasted, but you have to start seeing that you have a dream. Don't let the years that have gone by stop you from dreaming. Another distraction Satan will use is age. How old are you now? How old are you now? Have you lived more of your life than you have left? Some of you? Satan loves to use age as a distraction to get you to give up on your dreams. He wants you to feel old. He wants you to look around at other people and see what all they've accomplished and they're younger than you or maybe they're your same age. Look what all they've done. What have you done? Have you done anything? Look how old you are now. Satan loves to use age. You know, you have to stop looking at what's lost in your life and look at what's left and do something with the years you have left. I was telling, well, think about Abraham. He was 99 years old when his dream finally came to pass. How old is Brother Nichols? He's getting pretty close, isn't he? Abraham was 99 years old when his dream finally came to pass. I was telling the first service about a gentleman who was 66 years old and he had a dream. He said, "I don't want to live the rest of my life on my Social Security check." So at 66 years old, he said, "I have a recipe and I believe in this recipe and I believe somebody's going to believe in it." He had a dream. So he went door to door at 66 years old trying to sell his recipe. He knocked on all these different doors and nobody believed in him. They just rejected him. He knocked on 1,009 doors trying to get somebody to believe in his recipe. On the 1,010th door, somebody believed in his recipe. Aren't you thankful for KFC? I just want to ask you, how many of you have benefited from this man not giving up on his dream? Raise your hand. I agree. I was just telling them, so many times when Cassidy and I are even in a different country, we find Kentucky Fried Chicken and we're like, thank you, Jesus, we can eat. But think about it. That's why his picture's an older man on here, because he was 66 when somebody finally believed in his dream. And how many of you are 40, 30, 28, 62, 73, and you think, I'm too old. I'm too old to go for those dreams. Too many years have gone by. It's over. Satan will use age as a distraction to get you to give up on your dreams. Another thing Satan uses is words. Negative words that have been spoken over you. People telling you you're a loser, you're ugly, you're fat, you're worthless, your dreams are ridiculous, that will never happen. You're foolish if you think God's going to use you like that. We know your past. We know what you've done. We know your past, your family's history. Your dreams are ridiculous. Satan loves to use words. And like I said, Satan doesn't come looking like this. He works through people. So people's words spoken over you, they can either have power over you, or you can ignore them and let God's word have power over you. You know, you really have to think about whose words are you listening to the most? Because Satan will lie to anyone who will listen. Think about that. Satan will lie to anybody who will listen. So if you're listening to him, stop. Because, you know, coming to church like this, when you, every single time you step foot in this building, you're going to hear faith. You're going to hear something that's supposed to build you up, make you feel better about what God's called you to do, get you filled full of faith. So you've got to trade what you're listening to. You got to starve your fears and feed your faith. Amen. And you've got to feed your faith more than you're listening to Satan's lies. That's why I am so convinced if you would start a habit of hearing God's word at some point during your day, you will not be the person you are today next year at this time. And you know, I told the ladies, if you would start on a quest for the next 21 days to do something to build your faith, get some CDs, put them in your car, listen to them while you're driving to work. If you would do that for the next 21 days, you could break an old habit and start a new one. And when Satan starts bringing up stuff about your past, about how ridiculous you are, how old you are, how much time has passed, it won't even faze you because you are so full of faith. Why? Because faith comes by hearing the word. Every time you hear the word, faith comes. I'm convinced because it's happened in my life. You know, when you find something that works, you want to tell people, don't you? If you had like some little diet pill and you said, this pill caused me to lose 30 pounds, don't you want to tell everybody? Well, I'm telling you, I have a habit of hearing the word every single day. Doesn't have to be 5 hours, doesn't have to be an hour, even if it's 10 minutes. I will listen to the word at some point during my day, and I am not the person I used to be. I don't even resemble that old Terry anymore. I am so full of faith, and that doesn't mean I don't have fear about things or, you know, but I am so much more full of faith that I'm just convinced that God can do anything. And that's only a result of that tiny little habit of hearing the word while I'm getting ready. Hearing the word while I'm driving to work. Hearing the word while I go get my burrito. Hearing the word when I go back to work. And it's so easy to do that. You don't have to stop what you're doing. All you do is push play, keep brushing your teeth, getting ready, but you're getting full of faith, full of faith, full of faith, full of faith. So words you have to replace all of Satan's words and put God's word on the inside of you. Listen to some people who could have let words stop them. You want to hand me those, Cass? Have you heard of Mozart? He was actually told that the Marriage of Figaro had far too many notes and it was far too noisy. Mozart was told that, but he didn't let words stop him. You heard of Thomas Edison? He was actually told that he was unteachable. You're unteachable. He didn't let words stop him. He just kept on. He kept dreaming. He kept believing. You've heard of call him a handsome man. You've heard of this handsome man? Einstein? They said that Einstein's father went to the dean of his school to ask the dean, you know, what do you think my son should pursue? And that the teacher actually said, it doesn't really matter what he pursues because he's going to amount to nothing. Those were the words that were spoken over him. You know, if you believe other people's words, that just proves who has more power in your life, people or God. God thinks you're amazing. He thinks you're special. Jeremiah 1:5 says he created you for a special purpose. Before you were even formed in your mother's womb, he chose you. Isn't that awesome? So you got to not, you know, just get rid of all those lies that have been spoken over you. You know, they said that Michael Jordan, he was actually told that he wasn't any good at basketball, and the coach cut him from the sophomore team. He didn't even get to play basketball his sophomore year, and he was told, you're not any good at basketball. What if he had allowed those words to stop him from pursuing his dream? Think about some of the words that have been spoken over you, and are you allowing them to stop you from dreaming? Because what you repeatedly hear, you will eventually believe. And if someone has constantly told you what a loser you are, what a failure you are, you're just like your dad, you're just like your mom, whatever it is, imagine replacing all of that with God's word. And constantly you're being told, you're awesome, you're a winner, God has a plan for your life, God chose you before the foundation, God knew you in your mother's womb, God has a plan, don't you dare give up. Imagine hearing that constantly. What you repeatedly hear, you will eventually believe. Another distraction that Satan will use is people. Satan will strategically put people in your life who will drag you out of God's plan for your life. He will on purpose put people across your path who have been sent from Satan to pull you away from the plan of God for your life. And you know as well as I do, people can be a distraction. I remember one time, and this is just a goofy story, but when my husband and I were in Hawaii. We were on vacation, and we were with my parents and Jesse and Kathy Duplantis and Jesse's daughter, Jody, who's one of my best friends, and her husband, Eddie. So we're all on vacation, and we're at this hotel, and it just happened to be during the ESPN bodybuilding championships. They're all at the hotel. So bodybuilders are everywhere. I have pictures of Brother Jesse flexing by the pool. It's hilarious. But here we are at the ESPN Bodybuilding Championships, and me and Jody are laying out by the pool, and Rodney and Eddie, our husbands, had gone snorkeling. So they're out there snorkeling, and me and Jody are just laying by the pool, and we look across the pool, and there's these massive bodybuilders, and they're staring at us. And I'm like, Jody, do you see them? And she's like, uh-huh. And so we're going, what do we do? And we said, let's just put magazines up. So we put magazines up to, like, block the view. Well, then all of a sudden we look over at them, and they're waving at us. And we're like, oh, dear God, what do we do? Jody, what do we do? So we're just trying to ignore them. Well, then all of a sudden they get up, and they walk around the pool, and they put their hands on the back of our chairs. And I'm just, like, looking at Jody. We won't even look at them. Because the Bible says look away from all that distracts, right? So so all of a sudden they go, hey, do you girls want to go down the water slides with us? And I'm just sitting there, and Jody goes, nope. And the guy goes, why? Because you can't? And Jody goes, yep. And they go, well, you're missing out. And I just went, huh. and then all of a sudden they walked off, and I said, Jody, I hope our husbands don't walk up with flippers and snorkel gear on and all this stuff. Satan will use people to distract you from the plan of God. Now, that's just a goofy story, but oh, I have an excellent little prop for people. I showed them in the first service. This handsome man is Samson. I was at Walmart, and I saw this Samson, and I thought, surely I can use him in a prop. But look at Samson here. When you think about Samson, it's the little pigeon-toed Samson. You know, look, ladies, look at the biceps. He's pretty cute. He's got the long hair and the chiseled face and all that, pretty teeth. Well, just think about Samson in the Bible and how Delilah was strategically set up by Satan to distract him, to stop the plan of God for his life. Nothing about that was coincidental. It was all thought out. She had a plan from the beginning to destroy the power of God from his life. In the Bible, when you read the story of him, you actually find out that Delilah, she didn't believe like Samson. His parents didn't approve of her. She wasn't from the same heritage. She wasn't from the same town. But Samson actually said, "She's pleasing to my sight. She's pleasing to me." In other words, she's pretty to look at. And she had a plan all along to distract him from the power of God, to destroy that power of God in his life. And he fell for it. She was a distraction. And you know what's sad to me? Well, they've proven that Samson is still the strongest man who ever lived. But what's sad is the strongest man who ever lived will go down in history for his weakness. He'll go down in history for his weakness, and his weakness was a person. It was a woman. It was a woman set up by Satan to distract him. In fact, his eyes were the very thing that led him away from God. She was pretty to look at, and his eyes got on this woman more than the plan of God. And what's sad is the very thing that led him away from God, in his last days, he ended up chained up, bound up, and his eyes were gouged out. He was blinded. The very thing Satan used to distract him, and he ends up blinded in his last days. Thank God Samson called on the power of God in his final moment. But I'm just telling you, Satan will most definitely use people as a distraction to get you to get your eyes off your dreams. And nothing about it is coincidental. I think, well, Daniel said we brought a message back there called Breaking Wrong Soul Ties. And it's very intimate, but it's a step-by-step plan how to break free. If you've got soul ties to somebody, maybe through sexual intimacy, through words, vows, commitments made with another person, it's step-by-step how to break free when you know God's telling you, get out of that relationship. You don't belong with that person anymore. They're pulling you away from God's plan. That's not easy. But that would be the biggest regret of your life if you stay in a situation that you know God's telling you to get out of. Another distraction Satan will use is money or a lack of money. You know, he'll tell you, you don't have enough money, you never will, God's not going to bless you, he hasn't yet, you might as well give up on your dreams. That's another distraction Satan will use to get you to give up on your dreams. I shared with them that there was a guy in 1978 named Bernie Marcus. He was the son of a poor cabinet maker, and he was fired from Handy Dan, a do-it-yourself hardware store, in 1978. It says he was broke, he was extremely discouraged and out of a job, but he wouldn't give up on his dream. He teamed up with this other guy named Arthur Blank to start their own business, and against all odds, no job, depressed, and no money. In 1979, they opened their first store in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was called Home Depot. How many of you have benefited from their dream? Think about that. You know, here we are in this church today in Burleson, Texas, and I'm telling you about people who wouldn't give up on their dream, and nearly every one of you have benefited from that. Think of the people who will benefit from you if you don't give up on your dream. You have to imagine that, because somebody in need is waiting on the other side of your obedience. Somebody in need is waiting on the other side of your obedience. And if you allow Satan to convince you to give up on your dreams, you're going to stop blessing somebody else. Another person that I think we've all benefited from, you heard of Walt Disney? Did you know that Walt Disney filed bankruptcy 7 times? 7 times he filed bankruptcy, but he wouldn't give up on his dream. I just want you to imagine going to the bank that 4th time to file bankruptcy, going back to your office, looking at all these dreams on paper that look ridiculous, they look hopeless, they look like they'll never happen. And he wouldn't give up on his dream. And then he has to file bankruptcy again, and then he won't give up on his dream. He has to file bankruptcy again, and he won't give up on his dream. How many of you have benefited from Walt Disney? Whether it's a Disney film, going to Disney World, Disneyland, whatever it is. Thank the Lord he wouldn't give up on his dream. Well, Satan will use that. Another thing Satan will use is your past. And that's something he has used big time on me. In fact, I believe we brought a message. Did we bring Lift Your Head and Self-Image? We brought some messages back there because Satan has used my past to try his best to stop me from preaching, from being on television, from doing whatever it is God wants me to do. And the reason he does that is because he is called the accuser of the brethren. That's one of his titles. He is the accuser of the brethren. And the way that works is, well, you can come in a service like this, and all of a sudden faith starts to rise up on the inside of you, because faith comes by hearing, right? Faith gets on the inside of you. Hope begins to rise up in you. You could go home today, get out a piece of paper, and start writing your dreams down. Start writing some goals. Just start dreaming again. Set some new plans that you're going to start hearing the word in the mornings. But I can promise you, the moment you get in your car and you drive away, Satan's going to get his file out on you. And he's going to remind you of every bad thing, every wrong thing, every sinful thing you've ever done. Hoping that you will just start to go, well, that's right. I did do all those horrible things he just said. I mean, you could get in your car and all of a sudden Satan gets the file out and he says, wait a minute. Before you get too confident here about going after God's plan, let me just remind you of some of the things you've done. Aren't you the girl who had the abortion back, what was that, a couple years ago? Aren't you the guy who abused his first wife? Yeah, that's what I thought. Aren't you the one who abandoned your children? Aren't you the one who's been out of church for the past 10 years and now all of a sudden you think you're holy? Aren't you the one who filed bankruptcy? Aren't you the one who was drinking just 2 weeks ago? And then he'll close his file and you'll be like, yeah, that is me. And you give up on your dreams. Satan will use your past as a distraction to stop the plan of God for your life. The reason I mentioned that message I did called Lift Your Head is because when I was in college, I had to learn all about communication and about body language, and we had to study people's body language. And one of the things that we learned was that a person who's full of shame and full of guilt and insecurities, they carry themselves that way. They usually have, you know, their arms folded, their shoulders down, they have really bad posture. A lot of times their hair will be covering their face. But most of the time, they keep their head down. And I used to be that very person. And I think it is so amazing how God covered everything in his Bible. He even sent Jesus to be the lifter of your head. Is that awesome? To think that Jesus hung on that cross with his head down in shame so that yours could be lifted up. That you should never go a day of your life with your head held down in shame. You should pull your shoulders back, pull your head up, and you go for the plan of God for your life. God still has a plan for you, no matter what you've done, no matter what's been done to you. He still has a plan for your life. So you cannot allow your past to be a distraction for the plan of God. Another thing Satan will use are disappointments. All the mistakes you've made in the past. You know, Thomas Edison, he said, I failed my way to success. He actually failed his way to success. He said that it took 13,000 times to invent the light bulb. And they said, you failed that many times? He said, no, I successfully discovered 13,000 ways it will not work. He failed his way to success. And there's so many things. You know, I brought some of them. I'm not going to go through all of them. But the Beatles, you've heard of the Beatles? It says that 5 record labels turned them down before somebody saw potential in them. 5 record labels. Can you imagine the hopelessness they felt after the second or third record label turned them down? But what if they had just said, just forget it. This wasn't what we're supposed to do with our lives. Think about the things in your life that you've given up on because Satan has convinced you, you haven't heard from God, your dreams are foolish, you've already been rejected several times, just give up. You know, Peter Daniels, he's the amazing communicator and a successful businessman. He's a multimillionaire from Australia. And he tells the story about a friend of his who he had a dream and he went to the bank to get a loan for his dream and they turned him down. So he went to another bank to get a loan for the dream. They turned him down. Said he drove clear across town to another bank to get a loan for the dream. They turned him down. 98 banks later, somebody believed in his dream. That man today is a billionaire, not a millionaire, a billionaire. And Peter Daniels says, so many Christians especially, they see a door closed in front of them and they say, guess I didn't hear from God. That's not what I'm called to do. And they just give up on their dream. He said, if the door closes, kick it open. Go for what God's called you to do. Don't allow rejection and all the mistakes and the failures from the past to stop you from doing what you know in your heart God wants you to do. So that's one of the ways God, you know, Satan will try to distract you. I believe, here's my little dartboard, I believe in order for you to go after what God's called you to do, you absolutely have to get your focus back. And number one, your focus must be on God. He must be the target. He must be the bullseye that you aim all of your attention towards. You know, the Bible says in Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added unto you. But this is our first and most important priority. And you know, I tell people this all the time, that seeking God does not mean that you have to just go, okay, now I got to spend 1 hour a day on my knees in a prayer closet. Because you don't start out like that. It doesn't just come natural to want to spend an hour a day on your knees with God. Start with 5 minutes, but be consistent about those 5 minutes. Set a goal tomorrow morning. You're going to get up 5 minutes early, go in another room in your house, and just worship the Lord. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him that you need Him. Sing to Him. Confess a scripture. Read one scripture out loud. Start your day like that. But do it again the next day. Do it again the next day. Do it again the next day. Consistency is the key to change. I was telling them in the first service that if you were to go work out, let's say when this service is over, you're determined you're going to lose weight. You go up to Hughley Fitness Center and you work out for 1 hour. And then a month later, you go work out for 1 hour. And a month later, another hour workout. You're not going to see any change in your body. But if you were to say, you know what, every day this week, I'm going to go for a 15-minute walk, and I'm going to do it next week, and I'm going to do it next week, and I'm going to do it next week, you will see changes in your body. Why? Because consistency is the key to change. And it's the same with your relationship with God. If you would just start with 5 minutes, but Lord, I'm going to stick to those 5 minutes, it may grow into 10 and 15 and 20. And there will be times you want to spend an hour with God. You're not doing it because, guess I should. It'll build into whatever time. So I want to challenge you to set a goal to focus on God. You know, one of the things that Satan will use is he wants to keep you distracted. He wants you distracted by so many things that you lose sight of your time with God. And I'm warning you right now, those of you who are inspired to start spending more time with God, the moment you make that decision, Satan will send distractions to get you to not spend time with God. Tomorrow morning, either the phone will ring while you're going to spend your time with God, the baby will wake up, you'll oversleep, you'll fall asleep, you'll go in that room and you'll see clutter everywhere and you'll start straightening up, and then all of a sudden, it's time to go to work. I don't have time to pray. Satan will on purpose do everything in his power to get you to not spend time with God. That is part of his plan. And you know, I heard this story about lions when they go into a cage, or lion tamers or lion trainers, whatever you call them. When they go into a cage where there's a lion, it said that without a doubt, they always carry a whip on one side and a pistol on the other. But the most important thing for them to carry into that cage is a four-legged stool. You ever notice that at the circus? He always carries that four-legged stool into that cage with that lion. And he said the reason why is that they carry it, you know, with the four legs facing that lion, and they walk towards the lion. The reason why is because that lion tries to focus on all four legs at the same time. And when he tries to focus on all four, it said that a certain paralysis overwhelms him, and he becomes tame, weak, and disabled. And the reason why is because his attention is fragmented. Isn't that amazing? I never knew that. Well, that's exactly how Satan works. If he can get you focused on so many things in your life that you've lost your focus on God, you've lost your focus on your dreams, your attention is fragmented on all these other things, you become tame, weak, and disabled for the plan of God for your life. Exactly what Satan is hoping. So we have to get our focus back and make time with God a priority. It is the number one thing that will bring change in your life. Number two is you got to focus on thinking. Focus on thinking. The reason I say that is Andy Stanley said, everybody ends up somewhere in life, but a few people end up somewhere on purpose. And you know, it's been proven. People spend more time planning their vacation than they do planning their lives. We spend more time getting ready for a vacation than we do planning our lives. You've heard that phrase, don't just sit there, do something. I'm saying don't just do something with your life. Sit there and think. Think about what God wants you to do. Just set some time aside to be alone in some room and just think. And write down what you hear. Write down every idea, even if it sounds crazy and foolish and ridiculous. Write it down. When I'm out walking in the morning, I text myself when I get an idea so I won't forget it. But you got to write every idea down. And then I heard this story about a guy. I was telling the first service that there was a guy named John Kilcullen, and he was in a bookstore one day. And he's just sitting there looking at books, you know, and he overheard this lady walk in, and she walked up to the sales clerk, and she said, do you have any books on Microsoft DOS? And she goes, I don't know, something like DOS for Dummies. Well, this guy, John, he overheard this lady say that. Well, later that night, he's at dinner with a bunch of friends, and they're sitting at the table. And he says, yeah, I overheard this lady come in the bookstore today, and she made this comment about, do you have Microsoft DOS, DOS for Dummies? And everybody just started laughing, you know, they thought that was funny. Well, John Kilcullen didn't just think it was funny or just a passing comment. He thought about it, and he thought about it, and he thought about it, and he spent time thinking about it. And all of a sudden, he came out with DOS for Dummies. He came out with a whole line of dummy stuff. And do you know, I mean, last time I saw, they had 370 different titles of dummy books, 31 different languages, and he has sold over 60 million copies. Not $60 million, 60 million copies of dummy books. Everybody else just thought it was a funny little comment, but he spent some time thinking and thinking and thinking. You have to think about what God's called you to do. It doesn't just happen. You don't just come in a prayer line and all of a sudden you just become successful because somebody laid hands on you. You got to spend time thinking and imagining and writing things down, writing down your ideas, and then going for it. The last thing I want to share real quick is you got to focus your faith for the impossible. Focus your faith for the impossible, because whatever God's called you to do, it's going to be impossible. The reason I say that is because it's impossible to please God without faith. So whatever God's telling you to do, it's going to be impossible. So how do you build your faith? Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing the word. You got to do something every day to build your faith and to keep your dreams alive. Every day, do something to build your faith and to keep your dreams alive. I told the ladies this weekend that one of the things that has absolutely changed my life was I read something by John Maxwell, and he made this statement. He said, if I could come spend just one day with you, I could tell whether or not you're going to be a success. He said, you can pick the day. If I got up with you in the morning and just watched you throughout your day until you went to bed that night, I would be able to tell in what direction your life is headed. And he said, whenever I say that at conferences, sometimes people get a little upset with me. They think I'm being arrogant. He said, but the truth is, the secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. It's what you do on a daily basis that will lead you into God's plan for your life. You know, like I said earlier, I never dreamed I would preach, never wanted to preach, never had a desire to preach, never thought I should preach just because my dad's a preacher. I certainly never wanted to be on TV. I mean, I've been a ghostwriter for 15 years. I like being behind the scenes. But do you know that all I did was I started a plan to hear the word every day when I get up? Every day that became my routine and my habit was every day when I get up, I'm going to go in the bathroom and push play. And I'm going to hear the word while I'm brushing my teeth. I'm going to hear the word while I'm putting all this makeup on. I'm going to hear the word every day. And as I began doing that, God began to change me. God began to give me ideas. God began to give me dreams. And I began to believe nothing's impossible with God. Even though I used to be afraid to do this, I can do this. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I began pumping my spirit full of the word of God. John Maxwell said, if you want to see change in your life, change something you do daily. If you want to see change in your life, change something you do daily. The challenge I'm giving you this whole weekend has been to do something to build your faith on a daily basis. Do something every day to build your faith. And, you know, I'm going to close out with this little story that I read in the first service. And it's about a couple that you're going to recognize as I'm reading the story. Listen to this. It says that a guy named Charles Darrow lived in the early 1920s. When he was 20 years old, he set a goal to be a millionaire. Even when he married his wife Esther, he promised her, someday we're going to be millionaires. But then tragedy struck. 1929 rolled around and the Great Depression hit. It says that both Charles and Esther, they lost their jobs, they mortgaged their home, they lost their car, and they used up their entire life savings. Charles was devastated and he sat around the house depressed. Until one day he told his wife that she just needed to leave him because it was clear they weren't ever going to meet their goal of being millionaires. So he said, you just need to go find somebody else that can provide better for you because I'm not who I thought I was. Well, thank goodness, while he was feeling hopeless and negative and very distracted from his dreams, she was full of hope, full of faith, and she stayed focused on that dream. Esther wasn't about to leave Charles. She told him, we are going to reach our goal. But she said, every day we need to do something to keep our dream alive. Every day. Keep it alive, Charles said. It's already dead. We've already failed. But Esther refused to believe it. She suggested that they take some time every night to discuss what they could do when they reached their goal of being millionaires. They began doing that each night after dinner. Soon Charles came up with the idea of creating play money. He said, we don't have any real money, so let's make some play money. He sat around with lots of time and made play money. It says he and his wife pretended to buy things like little houses, properties, and other buildings. They finally turned it into a full-fledged game with board, dice, cards, little hotels, and little houses. And you guessed it, it was the beginning of a game that probably every single one of you have in your home called Monopoly. But listen to this. It says Charles's family and friends so enjoyed the game that in 1934 they persuaded them to approach the Parker brothers. And the executives there looked at the game and they rejected it. They said they found the game dull, the action slow, and the rules were hopelessly complex. However, Charles persevered. His wife kept encouraging him. So he went to another toy maker called Wanamaker's Toy Store. And he told the executives, he said, if you'll stock this game, I'll take out a loan and I'll create 5,000 of them. The game took off. And suddenly, Parker Brothers became interested. It says they replayed the game, but this time they found the game imaginative, fast-paced, and surprisingly easy to master. It says the game was copyrighted in 1935, and you guessed it, they sold it to Parker Brothers for $1 million. Isn't that awesome? But the thing is, they attributed their success to the fact that every day they did something to keep their dreams alive. Every day, do something to keep your dreams alive. I want to challenge you to start a habit of hearing the word at some point in your day. Every day, do something to build your faith because Satan is working overtime. Every day that you wake up, he's looking for a way to kill, steal, and destroy your life, to get you to be distracted, to lose sight of your dreams. Do something every day to keep your dreams alive. Now, I want to share with you just real quick. I don't know if I'm going to go through all this, but this little card, if you'll fill this out, I would love to keep you encouraged because you've got to have something feeding your spirit consistently. Whether it's an email and all of a sudden you're going to see the little redhead going, don't you even think about giving up on those dreams. You pick yourself up, you get in your car and you push play. I'm going to do something to keep you encouraged. I finally figured out all those years of cheerleading weren't for nothing. It's to cheer you on. So if you fill this out, I would love to keep you encouraged. But I've brought products here. You know, the Lord's just given me such a desire to keep people focused on their dreams. So I've got messages here. One of them's called Your Calling is Calling. And it's all about how to prepare for what God's called you to do. I also have a whole section in here about how to stop procrastinating. Because that is one of the ways Satan will get you to do it is, I'll start that tomorrow. I'll start that tomorrow. They said tomorrow is the only day that appeals to a lazy man. Tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. So I have a whole message in here about procrastination and how to conquer that. This little package with with your calling is calling and keep your dreams alive, it's usually 42, but it's 25. So that's the little Ross special, ladies, that we were talking about over the weekend. And then I also have, where were you headed before the storm hit? The reason I titled it that is because my dad has traveled all over the world, and there have been so many times my dad has had to call us and say, you know, the plane had trouble, we've had an emergency landing, I'm here in Duluth, Minnesota, but he's never said, it looks like I'm never coming home. No, he got back in the plane and he went to his original destination. Whatever has happened in your life that's caused you to maybe lose an engine, have some trouble, maybe you've had to have an emergency landing, God's original plan is that you get back in that plane and you go to your original destination. He doesn't want you to stop and park and die somewhere. He wants you to do what he called you to do. And so all of these have a little special price. Normally they're $7 per CD, but we've got special packages that Daniel can tell you about. And then this one, ladies, is about the self-image, which we talked about yesterday. I just didn't have it out there. This is all about how to improve your self-image, how to stop carrying yourself with your head down and your shoulders down, like I was saying, how to learn to pull your shoulders back and completely change the way you see yourself. And with this, we have a message called God's Plan, Satan's Plan, and Your Plan. I shared this at Kenneth Copeland Ministries to Mr. Copeland's staff. He has like 400 or 500 people on staff. And I shared this message out there, and when I was finished, John Copeland had every single staff member get a copy of this message, and he said, I'm going to quiz you on it later. It's just a very unique message about how God has a plan for your life, but so does Satan, and it is tailor-made to fit you. Satan knows exactly where you're weak, and he knows exactly where you're strong, and he will not tempt you in the strong areas of your life. He goes for that weak spot time and time again until you fall. So you have to learn to get wise to him. So all of these are back there, and I'm such a believer in resources. That's why I'm not like shy to talk about it, because I know what it's done in my life. I am not the person I am today simply because I've started a habit of hearing the word, and you can do the same thing. So my challenge to you is do something every day to keep your dreams alive. You receive it?
Yes.
Thank you, Pastor Mark and Carmen, for having me.